WRKC is proud to present the second season of The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King's students. We now present our 17th episode, The Fifth Story.
It was a cold night and I was thinking of Elizabeth Lacey. The coldest night I'd seen since that long-legged vixen walked her way right out of my life and into my heart. The rain pelted down like bullets ripping into me, with a darkness that cut right down to whatever was left of my soul. Took a swig from my beer and stared out the shattered window at the damned hopeless city waiting outside. "I'm tired," I muttered to nobody at all. She was lying on the street below, wearing a black dress against gray pavement and a look of pain on her face illuminated by the burning, spinning sirens that casted red and blue light into the darkness and only showed in sharper contrast the pool of red that silhouetted her body. Arms splayed and hair spinning around her, beautiful even in her death, and even now more filled with life than half the scum in this hellhole of a town after being pushed out of a fifth-story window. Jeez, people actually read this stuff?
Come on, Harry, would you keep it down?
I was sitting in a dark corner of Glenn's with a beat-up pulp magazine, a couple of gin and tonics, and Officer Travis Spinelli. Spinelli was doing all he could to blend in, but subtle has never been his forte. He was the only one inside the hot, smoky bar to still be wearing his hat and jacket. Luckily, one reason this is my favorite bar is that the patrons have a tendency of minding their own. Ah, calm down. How many cops do you know that go to Glenn's?
Brody comes here all the time since you brought him after the Sono case.
Brody? Brody could be sitting at our table and never notice that either of us is here. Besides, you're off duty. Why are you so jumpy?
Murdoch's orders. Well, he's furious, Harry. He already didn't like you, and then you shot down his offer like the PD is a pile of garbage.
So I'm out?
We're not supposed to give you the time of day, much less talk over cases with you. But just because you got Murdoch all worked up doesn't mean I'm going to cut you out when I think you can help.
Hey, I appreciate that, Travis, but I'm a working guy. I go to the cases that'll pay.
Well, this one'll pay. Elizabeth Lacey's been murdered.
Elizabeth Lacey? Isn't that the dame from the magazine?
Exactly. In the past 4 months, there have been 3 murders that are almost perfect copies of what happened in this magazine. Thrilling investigations. A woman who was a dead ringer for Elizabeth Lacey was thrown out of a fifth-story window last night.
Some kind of copycat? Crazed fan?
Could be. Murdoch won't let us touch it. There's no proof it's related, and he won't have us waste time pretending to be pulp heroes. But I'm telling you, these killings are connected, and the pulp magazine is the key.
All right, I'll look into it.
The owner of the magazine is Elliot Kasdan. He's willing to pay any detective who can figure this out, and he'll write up the story of it in the next magazine. Here's the address and phone number of their office.
I paid for my drinks, got back home, and read a couple more pages of the magazine before turning in. The next morning, I called the number Spinelli had given me to see about arranging an appointment with Mr. Kasdan.
Hello, this is Thrilling Investigations, the only magazine that brings you a brand new mystery every week for less than 30 cents an issue. This is Karen. How can I help you?
Are you Elliot Kasdan's secretary?
Yes, do you need to get in contact with him?
Are you happy working for him? Because I've got an open secretary position for someone who can answer the phone as pleasantly as you do.
I'm flattered, I guess, but I'm very happy working for Mr. Kasdan. Do you have some business with him?
Damn it, looks like I'll be stuck with Deborah for a while more. How come all the good secretaries are already employed? Yeah, I'm Harry Flynn, a private eye. I'd like to make an appointment with him to talk about the murders supposedly related to your publication.
Oh, absolutely, Mr. Flynn. He has an opening in his schedule at 10 this morning.
I'll come on in then. Thank you, Karen. I left my apartment, bought a newspaper from the corner, and caught a cab so I could read up on the murder from the previous day. She was a 30-year-old paralegal who'd been working late on a properties case. The door to the office had been jimmied and she'd been thrown from the window. Everything from the circumstances to her description was nearly perfectly from the book in an almost eerie way. Once I arrived, I made my way to the front of the building, where a woman with a clipboard and a pen was waiting with a devilish smile.
Hello, sir. I'm with a ledger reporting on these magazine murders. Do you have a moment?
I really shouldn't. I don't work here.
No? So you must be a would-be detective. Have you figured out who was behind these ghastly crimes?
Look, it's still under investigation, and I'm sure once Mr. Kasdan realizes you're out here attacking anyone who passes by, he won't be pleased.
Mr. Kasdan was the one who called me in to talk to anyone who came by.
Did he really? That's strange, but good to know. You may have helped me more than you know.
Are you saying Mr. Kasdan was the one to do this?
What? I didn't say anything like that.
And what's your name? Mr. for the article.
I think you're barking up the wrong tree. I moved past her and walked into the office, which was buzzing with action and the clicking of typewriters. The authors moved between desks and talked loudly while passing manuscripts between each other. I followed a couple of signs to a door marked Editor Kasdan. Unfortunately, 3 of the authors were standing in front of the door already.
So have you looked over the latest Dr. Stone private eye I put on your desk?
Yeah, I noticed a problem with it, though. You have him driving, But 3 books ago, he drove his car through the museum wall to catch that cat burglar with the eye patch.
Yeah, but it's not like anyone will notice. That was 3 books ago. I'm more worried about you giving him such a sissy first name.
I thought it was funny to call him Leopold.
We've had 12 stories where his name wasn't mentioned. Why bring it up now?
I just figured it was good for the gag.
I'm thinking of naming it Dr. Stone's Deadly Caper because of the scene in the Olive Factory.
That's all right, but how about Dr. Stone and the Deadly Caper?
I don't even think capers and olives are the same thing.
But do you think it's good?
Yeah, it's good. Apart from all the horse.
Luke! Marcus!
Brendan! Are you here with your pieces for next month?
The door to Kasdan's office opened and the editor stuck his head out. He was younger than I expected, with a shock of blonde hair that stuck up in the front. At the moment, though, he was all business and making sure the troops were in line.
Here it is, ready to print.
Thank you, Marcus. Luke?
Still needs some tweaking, but here it is.
Just be sure it's in by Thursday. Brendan?
I'll have it done by Thursday.
All right. Back to your desks. You are either Harry Flynn or the new coffee boy.
I don't have any coffee, so I guess I'll have to go with Harry Flynn.
Good, good. Come on in. Have a seat.
His office was small, with a single desk and a chair on either side. Stacks of papers covered the desk, but more impressive were the dozens of lurid magazine covers pinned to the board behind him.
Now, Karen told me that you are here about the murders. Terribly ironic, isn't it? We sell magazines because of the appeal of the macabre, and then someone starts imitating it. If I weren't in it, I'd think one of my authors was writing it.
I'm not certain that that's ironic, actually.
Well, I'm sure there are people saying it isn't related, too. I mean, if it was one or two, I'd doubt it myself. But as of yesterday evening, we are up to 4. It would really be best for us if the culprit was caught soon.
Glad to hear you're so concerned about this. You must have noticed the similarities before now, though.
Oh, yes. It's been excellent publicity, too. Who wouldn't want to read murder stories that are causing real murders? It's chilling. That is, if the stories really are causing the murders. The story with the girl came out 3 weeks ago. Hell, the next issue of that series is coming out tomorrow. But even with the publicity, this is going too far, clearly. Our stories end well, Mr. Flynn. The detective figures out who done it, and makes sure he's in jail or dead. I'm willing to pay handsomely to ensure that this case ends just as well.
And I'm willing to solve this if I can be sure I'll get cooperation.
My authors and offices are open for your perusal.
All right. I need copies of the magazines with the murders, and I'll need to talk to the authors who wrote them.
Author, actually. All of them were from the same series, and we pride ourselves on keeping the same author for each series. You see, each week we put out our publications, which include either 1 or 2 stories each. Thrilling Investigations is our main magazine. But we also have a science fiction rag, and Thrilling Investigations for women. Each author gets a story in about once a month. If you talk to Karen, she'll get you the issues you'll need.
Thanks. Oh, before I go, how many of these do you sell? We could be looking at a crazed fan of some kind, so if I could get an idea of the number of people to talk to, that'd be great.
Well, it depends which author has featured that issue, but I'd say you're safe with 5 to 10,000.
5 to 10,000?
Yes. Does that number surprise you?
Hell, I'm shocked you got 10 readers with the name Thrilling Investigations. It doesn't get much more generic than that.
It tells our readers what they are getting, and we've been publishing too long to change it. Don't think I haven't considered it anyway. Karen can tell you where to find Clive Abbott. He writes Tony Edge.
With that brief dismissal, I went to go track down Karen. Something about how Kasdan said Abbott's name rang a little wrong, but if one of my employees was connected to 4 murders, I'd be nervous too. I got the 4 magazines from Karen and got to figuring out what she could tell me about this Clive Abbott. So, what can you tell me about this Clive Abbott?
Well, he's been an author here for about a year now, and he's really good. Tony Edge is one of our most popular characters.
Oh, I didn't mean about his stories. I meant about him. Do you think he could be...
What, the one killing these people? No, he's not like that. I mean, all of his stories end with the detective finding out what happened. Sure, some of them are a little dark, but he's a nice, normal guy.
You don't seem entirely sure about that.
Well, everyone's got faults. He's got a temper and he drinks too much. Like, he was planning on having a politician get shot in his next story, and the boss told him he couldn't because of the attacks. Clive goes off the wall. He's shouting and knocking stacks of paper over before he storms out saying that he's going to join a different magazine. Just little things like that set him off, and he's storming out. Some of the guys have a betting pool about it.
And do you know where I can find him?
You know the park at 8th Street? He works there a lot. He's on the short side with a mustache and brown hair that'll be slicked back. I'm sure he'll be writing, or something, but this is important enough to interrupt him.
Thank you very much, Karen. You've been very helpful. And, are you sure you don't want that other job?
I'm very sure, Mr. Flynn.
I drove down to 8th and stopped my car to walk through the park. People were starting to arrive for picnic lunches, and it was beautiful weather for it. I was almost tempted to kick off my shoes and just listen to the birds chirping. But before I gave in to the temptation, I saw a man matching the description of Clive Abbott sitting at a table. I moved over and sat down across from him. I was right about to introduce myself when I heard a familiar click beneath the table.
You better explain real quick what your business is or I'll blow a hole through your gut.
So much for introductions.
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of the fifth story, but first, a word from our sponsor.
In our busy modern world, there are difficult choices to make. But the hardest questions all involve how to get everything done without going insane. There simply aren't enough hours in the day to get everything done. But what if you could remove one of the most wasteful parts of your day and replace it with a couple hours of hard work? Well, now you can! From famed Scottish doctor Sonny Ambulism comes a dramatic new treatment that can make you into a more efficient, productive person without any negative side effects. Doctor, why don't you tell us how it goes?
Well, the patient is given a series of hypnotic suggestions that penetrate to the deepest parts of the brain most associated with sleep. These suggestions then work with the patient's mind to force the sleeper to stand up and go about the work they need to get done.
That's right! And it can be any kind of work, can't it, Doctor?
Well, not any kind of work. It could be dangerous to do anything other than listening to recorded books, sir.
Scottish sensibilities. Here in America, we know that any danger is worth increasing productivity. Just ask some of our customers.
My three kids wreck the house every day, and I have to try to clean it up. But I also put in 9 hours of work a day. Now every night I do everything from organizing to sweeping while I'm sleeping. The only trouble is I can never find anything I put away the night before.
I'm wanting to put off some weight before the swimsuit season, so I signed up for Dr. Sunny's program. Now every night I get a good 6 hours of hot exercise in. I wake up every morning feeling refreshed and energized with sore muscles all over. But for some reason, I've been waking up with blood all over my hands for the past couple of nights. I don't know why, but I'm worried I might be doing something wrong.
I've got tons of studying I need to do every single night, so I just fall asleep and get up to do my reading. My grades are going up already. For some reason, though, whenever I hear a series of numbers, I start barking like a dog. But it's a small price to pay for new chances in life.
I really must protest. This is a terrible use of my program. People can't just go without sleep. They'll go insane.
Right. But not as insane as this deal. If you call now, we'll get you a weekly program that varies your activities in whatever way you need. Household chores will be a thing of the past when you're doing them from the comfort of your dreams. Just call 1-800-BEDWORK. That's 1-800-BEDWORK. 1-800-233-9675.
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
Get your hands on the table and start talking, pal.
I slowly put my hands on the table and nodded to Abbott. This wasn't exactly what I had in mind when I tracked him down, but I decided to make the best of it. I'm Harry Flynn, a private investigator. I heard you had some trouble with people thinking you're making your books a bit too realistic. I thought I'd find you and offer my help. Cliff Edge is my favorite detective.
Tony Edge.
I'm better with names when I don't have guns pointed at me.
So why are you looking for me?
To be sure you didn't do it.
I didn't.
And yet of all the people around, you're the only one threatening someone with a gun.
Someone has killed 4 people connected to my books. Whoever it is could be trying to take me out next.
Alright, I can understand that. I won't ask you to put it away, but it would help if you could answer some questions. Have you received any sort of letters from fans talking about killing people?
No. I get letters about the stories I write. Nobody talking about actual killing.
Are there any fans that send you more mail than others?
I don't have the time to be sorting through mail and keeping track of who sent what how often. Nothing jumps out, though.
I hear you had an argument with Kasdan earlier today.
Yeah, he's afraid I'm gonna get the mayor killed. You ask me, it's the best way to get the culprit caught. The mayor has people looking out for him. He'll be fine.
Have you decided what you're writing, then?
Maybe a nosy private investigator who interrupts innocent people with ridiculous accusations. I've got a story to write that goes to press tonight. I'd appreciate it if you leave me the hell alone.
I walked back to my car, not feeling any wiser from my visit. Sure, Abbott wasn't the nicest guy, but if he had been doing the killings, he wouldn't be stupid enough to point a gun at me. I got back to my office and dropped the magazines on Deborah's desk.
Oh, you shouldn't have, Harry. I don't read those pulps.
You do now. Pick an issue. I need every last bit of information we can get about the victim and the situation.
You've got to be kidding me. My job is not to read terrible magazines.
Could have fooled me. Come on. If we work through lunch, you can probably get home an hour and a half early. I've just got to make a call and I'll be working on it 1-2.
All right. But I'm leaving early whether we're done or not.
Hello, this is Officer Brody. How can I direct your call?
Brody, I need to talk to Spinelli.
Sure, I'll call him. Wait a minute. Is that you, Harry?
No, this is Tony Edge.
No way you're going to fool me with that. I can tell it's you by your voice. You've got some nerve calling and asking for Spinelli after what you pulled.
I have nothing but respect for you and the other officers on the force, but it's not for me.
What? I meant inviting Spinelli to go to Glenn's and not bringing me. I could have used a break yesterday.
I'm sorry, Brody. We can go for drinks soon, but I need to talk to Spinelli now.
All right, all right. Jeez. Keep your horses under control.
This is Officer Spinelli.
Hey, Travis. I need the files regarding the previous victims.
Harry, you know I can't get you that. Do you need something specific? Maybe I could look it up for you.
No, I'm not sure what I'm looking for yet. But I'm sure there's a connection and we just need to find it. Put them in a folder labeled Schedule and tell Brody to run them over and slip it under my office door. Tell him it's figuring out when we can all go to Glenn's together.
There's one giant problem with that idea.
You don't think he'll fall for it?
No, then we'll have to go to Glenn's with him.
Damn it, Spinelli, just give me the files. I went back out to the reception area and grabbed one of the issues. Deborah was reading hers with a fascinated look on her face.
I cannot believe that this stuff gets published. I mean, listen to this. The barrel of her gun showed about as much feeling as she did as she lifted her piece and pointed it at my head.
It's terrible. I just got done reading half a page describing how a woman's perfume reminds him of being tied up in a field of daffodils. She's not even an important character. She existed in the story just to give him a coffee.
I should write a book. Maybe I could quit.
You should. Maybe I could get a new secretary.
Shut up and read.
3 hours later, we had the information from the books and were comparing it to the information Brody had slipped under the door in a folder labeled Schedule. All right, so the first real victim worked at a gun shop, shot twice in the chest right outside the business. Looks like the gun was one from inside the shop. And Abbott wrote...
Almost the same thing. It only took one shot, but I guess the shooter took some liberties.
Or the first shot wasn't going to do it. You have the second story?
Yeah. A foreman at a work site. He was shot also and then buried at the site.
And the only reason they found him was one of the workers found a bit of his shoe poking out of the ground.
Third one was a man in his 20s. An heir to some kind of fortune. I swear, my eyes were closing trying to read that one, though.
An heir to a hotel, maybe? That's who I've got in the police report. And last is Elizabeth Lacey or the lawyer's assistant.
Here are my notes. I'm going home.
All right. Hey, Deborah. Thanks.
I'm taking tomorrow off to write my own book. If they can get published, so can I.
She was out the door before I could stop her. Oh, well. I kept looking over the notes from the pulps and the police reports, just hoping something would jump out at me. But it was just piles of information. The names were different, but occupations and physical descriptions matched almost perfectly. All of the murders had occurred within the city itself, but the addresses were entirely different. Soon the words and numbers had swirled together long enough that I just put my head down and fell asleep. The next morning I got up, put myself together, and caught a cab over to the Thrilling Investigations building. I brought the reports to look over during the drive.
Hello, Mr. Flynn. Have you figured out who did it?
No, not quite. Listen, I know the next issue by Clive Abbott comes out later today. Any chance I can get my hands on it now? Maybe stop the murderer from striking again.
Absolutely. That'll just be 15 cents.
Here you go. Karen handed me the magazine and I started thumbing through it, trying to find the actual crime. Do you know anything about this issue?
Not much. Clive had to rush it and get it in last night. I think he said something about writing it about a detective who was bothering him.
Yeah, he's not much of a charmer himself.
Do you think the killer's going to go after you now?
There are a couple of private eyes in the area. I'll get in contact with them and let them know to keep an eye open.
All right. Good luck, Mr. Flynn.
I got back into the cab and kept leafing through the latest issue. I was about to throw the book out of my window in frustration when I noticed something interesting with an address printed in the magazine. Tony Edge was standing in an office at Elm Avenue and 10th Street. It was the first mention I'd seen of a non-numbered address, and Elm just so happened to be the street my office was at. It wasn't exactly right then either, because I was just getting off at Elm Street and 7th Avenue. Hey, cabbie, mind staying here a second?
The meter will keep going, and I need the money ahead of time.
Seriously? You're killing me. It's just a second.
It is the company's policy.
All right, here's another 50 cents. I went back to my notes and started searching through them. Sure enough, the addresses were close, but off by three on each number. 30th Street and 13th Avenue became 10th Avenue and 27th Street. 12th Street became 9th Avenue. Damn it, the answer was here before me the whole time. Abbott must have been planting the descriptions and modified addresses to give his gunman targets. Still, the targets didn't make sense. None of them had any recorded relationship with Abbott himself, except, of course, for target number five. Me. I was getting ready to tell the cabbie to drive on when I noticed that the lights to my office were on. I turned them off before, meaning either the killer was stupid enough to turn on the lights when he went in, or Deborah hadn't stayed home after all. Damn it, stay here! Keep the car running!
For how long?
For however long this'll keep you. I tossed him a couple of bills from my wallet and jumped out of the car. The three flights up to my office that I normally complain about passed in seconds. When I got to the office, the shades were drawn over the door's window. Inside, the lights were on, and it was obvious Deborah hadn't been the only one inside. Her purse was spilled onto the floor next to her desk, and there were papers everywhere. Damn it. Took out my pistol and knocked it on the door between the reception area and the office itself. Who's in there? Identify yourself.
I heard the gun. Put it on the ground and slide it in, and your secretary won't be hurt.
If I give you my gun, you have to let her go. Now.
I'm surprised you think you get to make the decisions.
You are standing in my office.
Yeah, funny guy, eh? No wonder Abbott wanted to take you out.
Yeah, I get that a lot. I'm sliding my gun in.
Nice and easy now. All right. You can leave now. but no funny business. This isn't your problem, and he's no relation of yours. We've got guys watching the building if you try anything.
I understand.
Deborah walked out from the office with a tall man in a black jacket pointing a piece to her back. As she walked towards the door, the man pointed the gun at me.
I'm sorry, Mr. Flynn.
It's all right, Deborah. Go on home. Don't do anything stupid.
All right, Mr. Flynn.
She walked stiff-backed out the door and closed it behind her, leaving me unarmed, facing down the barrel of a .45.
Do you know what happens next?
Yeah, I read the summary. You handcuff me to a chair and shoot me, then you get a lump of money for it. I figure you pick it up from the train station. Abbott's probably got a lockbox set up for drops. You're paid guns, right?
I really prefer Hitman, but you've got the right idea. Well, that and it's a post office box and not a train station.
Can't be right all the time. Should I sit?
That'll make my life easier.
If I cooperate, will you make it quick?
Yeah, that can be arranged.
I moved over to my chair and sat down. The gunman kept his barrel on me while he pulled my arms behind my back to cuff me. Of course, that wasn't exactly what I had in mind. I slammed the back of my head into his mouth by pushing against the desk with my feet. With that moment of surprise, I grabbed a paperweight from my desk and promptly introduced it to the side of his face. I checked to be sure he was out cold, then spent a good 5 minutes cuffing him to the chair. Little bit of creative justice there. After a quick call to the police, I grabbed my coat and drove over to the magazine, knuckles white on the wheel.
Mr. Flynn, back so...
Shh, not so loud, Karen. Look, is Clive here?
Yes, he is. He's at his desk.
Is there a way I can get to Kasdan's office without Clive seeing me go in?
Yes, that hallway to your left circles around, but why?
Because you're going to help me catch the killer. I need you to send Clive into Kasdan's office in 20 minutes. Keep it nice and casual. Then call the police department and have them send someone over. Tell them Harry Flynn has someone for them. I walked around to Kasdan's office and told him the plan. Then I slipped behind the door and waited for Clive. Just on schedule, Clive knocked on the editor's door.
Come in.
You wanted to see me, sir?
Yes, yes. Come sit down.
Clive made his way in and sat opposite Kasdan with his back to me.
I have something very serious I need to talk to you about. It's about the latest story you wrote.
What, did you not like it?
It's not that. It's an excellent piece. It's just, well, there's been another murder.
No!
A private investigator named Harry Flynn was killed just this morning. The killer is working faster than ever.
Oh, that's terrible. Someone needs to stop him.
Oh, we already have. You see, I was thinking. We've been thinking it's been some kind of fan all along. But what if it wasn't? You got in late today, Clive. Late enough that you could have gone in and killed the detective.
You've got to be kidding me.
He was killed before the books were sold this time. It was earlier than anyone could have bought the book.
That's impossible.
Is it?
No, I'm telling you, it's impossible.
You're very certain about this.
Call it a hunch.
I wonder where that hunch is coming from. Maybe it's from planning the deaths in the first place. We've got you, Abbott. Your scheme is over.
Not if I have anything to say about it.
Sorry, pal, but you don't. That's for pointing a gun at me. That's for breaking into my office. And that's for threatening an innocent woman. The rest will have to wait until after your trial, you miserable scum.
Damn it, get your hands off me. I didn't do anything. He was threatening me, so I was getting ready to run.
Save it. I already caught your man back at Elm and 7th. It was simple enough to figure out once I realized what I was looking for. But you must have thought you were real clever.
So I got sloppy. What have you got to hold me on? Some addresses in a magazine? Coincidence. Whoever you've caught just found people who happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. You've got nothing on me. I'm going to walk by the end of...
What was that one for?
I was tired of hearing him talk. The police arrived a couple of minutes later, and after a brief lecture on acceptable force, they carted Clive Abbott off. He was right, though, up to a point. The magazines wouldn't have been enough if his trigger finger hadn't been willing to play ball. For a reduced sentence, he sang like a bird. Clive was shipped off to prison, where he'll be writing hackneyed stories for a long, long time. From where I understand it, the cops were able to bring in all of the people who called for the hits. The next month, I got to my office to find Deborah holding something she swore she'd never pick up again. An issue of Thrilling Investigations. The front of this one had in giant letters, "Real-life detective solves a dastardly plot to save the woman he loves and himself, Harry Flynn, in the magazine death list."
Oh, look, it's the man of the hour. Your book came in.
I don't even want to know what they put in there.
You know, this isn't exactly how I remembered it.
What's different?
Well, apparently, sometime between you surrendering to him and me walking out, there was some kind of passionate embrace in a gunfight. What did you tell them?
Nothing like that.
You better not have. And I better get hazard pay. I've had a gun pointed at me twice in 2 weeks.
I picked up the magazine from her desk and walked into my office to sit down and have a read. The day started like any other, with a hangover the size of an elephant and the long legs of a beautiful brunette swaying into my office. Deep red lips wreathed in smoke mouthed the words, "Harry Flynn, I need your help." Huh. If only real life could be like detective stories.
This has been The Adventures of Harry Flynn, presented by WRKC. This week's episode, The Fifth Story, was written by Brandon Leon Gambetta. Our cast today was Brandy George as Deborah Sullivan and Lost Woman, Brandon Leon Gambetta as Brendan and Harry Flynn, Jennifer Momanzada as Karen, Reporter, and Sleep Runner, Drake Nestor as Elliot Kasdan, Commercial Announcer and Cappy, Lucas Tomasacci as Luke, Announcer, Officer Spinelli, Abbott, and Student, and Mark Zurich as Marcus, Dr. Sunny Ambulism, Officer Brody, and Gunman. Can't get enough Harry Flynn? Find us on Facebook or go to www.harryflynn.wikia.com for all your Harry Flynn-related needs, including MP3s of all previous episodes. Tune in next week for another exciting episode of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.